Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu of Life, a weekly podcast for BJJ enthusiasts who are striving to succeed both on and off the mats. This podcast is brought to you by Robles, makers of the world's finest custom jiu-jitsu apparel. And here are your hosts on the Jiu-Jitsu of Life, Carter Fisk and Mo Siddiqui.
Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu of Life podcast. This is episode number 162.
Yo, 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 the Independence Day episode.
Happy birthday, America.
I love it. America. Hey, you know, I gotta be, you know, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but 4th of July is actually one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I love, you know, I'm not sure if the rest of America celebrates this way. Oh, yeah, I think the rest of America does. Definitely in Texas, it's barbecue, swimming pools, fireworks.
Yeah.
And I love all three of those things very much. And that's why 4th of July is by far one of my favorite holidays. I knew because, you know, with the Nice Guy painting business, I'm always having to check kind of the weather nowadays.
Yeah.
That could disrupt our painting. But I knew that Sunday, when is, you know, is we're supposed to catch some rain. It's coming down pretty good right now, kind of on and off. And so I knew that might disrupt our fireworks. But I knew we could still pull off barbecue and swimming pools. So we kind of celebrated on Saturday a little bit. Hopefully we can still get fireworks today. Yeah. But, you know, the thing, so I remember last 4th of July, right? And it seems just like yesterday. And, you know, I was out there with my family and we're watching this beautiful fireworks display. And every year, I promise you, Carter, when I'm watching these fireworks, it's almost, I don't know why I do it, but it's just, it causes me to be so grateful because I literally, I don't know, it just creates this feeling of patriotism.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, and this is why I feel so grateful, is every time I'm watching these fireworks, midway through, I begin to think about all the people around the world that can't live the way we live. I think about people that are being persecuted because of the religion that they follow, people that are persecuted because they speak out, they speak their opinion on their government, people that just don't have the luxuries that we have in terms of like running water, right? Like we dealt with it for a couple of weeks during the snow vid crisis.
Yeah.
And, you know, come to think of it, there's people around the world that this is every day for them, right?
Yeah.
And so when I think about all these people and how much they're suffering, and then I'm just so grateful because I'm like, man, I could have been born anywhere in the world, but I was lucky enough to be born in America. And I told you the other day, because man, my idea of luck, that's such a, to me, when people used to tell me, hey, Mo, you're lucky, I used to take that as an insult when I was younger.
Yeah.
I'd be like, nah, bro, that was skill. But now I don't look at luck as the same thing. Luck to me is like fortune. Like you're a fortunate person.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, what life has taught me, and especially business more than anything, is that it's better to be lucky than good. And I would take good fortune and I wish good fortune upon the people that I love and care about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, and it's been, you know, it's interesting last year compared to this year too, because man, last year, things were looking a little grim. I mean, you had tons of, some would call them protests, other people would call them riots. You had no vaccine in sight. You had high numbers of COVID cases in the country, kind of the second spike. Actually, I guess the first spike in the U.S. was in the summer. Those were dark times. Even a year out looking at them, they were dark times. And a lot of the world is still suffering from those. I mean, you're seeing what's happening in like Indonesia right now, in India a couple months ago. And a lot of it is, I think the world will catch up to where we are now, which is, you know, I was driving around, I told you I was driving around downtown, people are out and about, went to the store, and it's like, man, you still see people wearing masks here and there, but definitely not the majority of people anymore. And I'm like, man, that's obviously completely changed from a year ago.
Do you remember that we had this conversation, and it's funny, and you and I were both, well, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for you. I was a believer that even after the vaccines, all that type of thing, and I don't know, I can't speak for the rest of the country. We're here in Texas. I was a believer that, man, people are still going to be rocking the mask. I'd probably be the last person wearing the mask just because I don't want to get shamed.
Yeah.
Not the case.
No,
Not what I've seen. I mean, like everywhere I go, nobody's wearing masks.
Yeah, it's changed quite dramatically. And I mean, a lot of it was with the once the CDC changed the recommendation, that was the big thing. But, you know, I agree with you. A year ago, I was like, man, I don't know if this is, we're ever going to get out of this type of thing, especially because historically speaking, we had seen vaccines would take a long time, not only to develop, but to sort of cultivate as well, because they would have to be processed a certain way and essentially grown. And now with the mRNA technology, you can produce vaccines much, much faster. So I think there's a lot to be thankful for this year, because good Lord, it could be a year ago where it was like, man, we're never going to get out of this. Or it could be 2 years ago where you're like, life is just going along, man. Everything's good. 2020 is coming. That's going to be a fun year. And then Kobe Bryant died. You're like, oh, what a sad thing. That's probably the worst thing that's going to happen this year. And you would be so wrong. So, you know, to me, it's like, I don't know. I agree with you, because you see the rest of the world and it's like they don't have the vaccines out there. They don't have a lot of the different things that we have, because in many ways, I think the U.S. is, it's not done, but it's a lot closer to done than it is to the beginning versus other places. It's like, man, they still got to go through that brutal second wave and the different spikes and all that kind of stuff they've got. And they don't have the capacity to deal with it the way we do in terms of technology and hospital care and all that kind of thing. So to me, there's a lot to be thankful for as an American. And yeah, I don't think people always have perspective on how lucky they are as Americans.
Yes. And so that's a very stoic exercise in order to gain perspective and be grateful. What the Stoics used to do, right, is they used to contemplate their own death. Then they would wake up from that contemplation and be like, oh, I'm still alive. Yeah. I'm super happy, right? Like, and so that's just such an easy exercise that I know it's been very beneficial in my life, is that there's always someone out there that has it worse.
Yeah.
And once you focus your attention and recognize that, and then you realize, man, I'm not having to go through what they are having to go through.
Yeah.
Like, you can't help but to feel grateful. And then you can't help but to recognize all that you do have.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, it's true. And I think this is sort of the perfect holiday to do that. I'm liking 4th of July, even though it's has been raining on and off. And there was thunder so loud that I think you heard it in Kyle and I heard it in Austin, like 30 miles away from each other. It's good. It's funny, man, with fireworks too. Chantel and I have seen fireworks together, I think twice. We've been together for 13 years, but we've seen it twice, because like every year something happens. Like, we're going to go and one of us gets sick, or we're going to do this, or like, it's just every year there's something. So now we don't even bother, like, whatever. Maybe we'll see something out the window if we're lucky, but we just stopped making plans, because it was like one time we were going and then she just got really sick as we could have just walked, because we used to live in California near the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and we were just going to walk there. And it was literally like she got sick on the way. So we're walking away from it. And I keep looking back, trying to trying to walk into the highway. But we're just, I don't know. Fireworks are not.
It's not in the cards for you guys.
They're not in the cards. So, sadly enough. But yeah, man, it's good. It's
well,
good.
Since it's Independence Day, we're gonna stick to that topic of independence, because it's like 4th of July every day for us.
Yes,
because we're always talking about the beauty of being independent and the beauty of financial independence, how to gain that. Yeah. I also want to talk today about independent jiu-jitsu, because a lot of people have been asking me, like, are you and Carter starting an academy? And I'm like, no, bro. But today, we're going to clear this up today. There will be no independent jiu-jitsu academy. But what is independent jiu-jitsu? And we'll talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, I like that.
But first, man, I got to start off with financial independence.
Yeah.
Have to. Yes. Because when you talk about freedom, look, and to each his own, right? Like, You know, there's no, we were just talking this pre-show. There's no right answer for everything. There's just a right answer for you, right? But for me, when it comes to being like truly free, and I don't even know, you know, that's a whole nother philosophical debate. But if you want to really increase your freedom, in my opinion, then it takes, you know, you start off by becoming financially independent, right? And, you know, yesterday was a perfect example. You know, pretty much my life for the past year has been an example of what financial independence can do for a person. I mean, you live life on your own terms. You do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. And that's fine. You know, that's just it in a nutshell, right? That's independence. And so if I want to wake up tomorrow and it's like, what are we doing today? Because that's exactly what happened yesterday. Yeah. You and I had a beautiful training session. And we can have those training sessions when we want because we have the lives that we have. And after the training session, you took off. And after I jumped out of the shower, I was like, what do we do in a day? And the beauty of that is we can really do anything we want. One, because we have the resources. Two, because we don't have anyone to answer to, right? Like, I just remember my life prior to that where I was like, well, they might call me into work. Or, well, you know, I don't want to be too tired. I got to get to, you know, and it's just, you know, we're mobile and fluid. And I love living life that way. But how do you get there? How do you become financially independent?
Good question.
How'd you do it? Well, I'll tell you how I did it. I found someone that already had the blueprint and I asked him for the blueprint. They handed it over to me and I followed instructions. And here we are. So you laid out a good roadmap for me. You know? A couple of people did. I think that that was one thing, is that I was very fortunate and blessed to kind of find, and again, talking about, you know, if anybody says, man, Mo, you got to where you got to because you were lucky, I will not disagree with you. Yeah. I will say you are 100% correct. Yeah. And please continue to pray for my good fortune and luck, and I will pray for yours.
Keep this magic going.
to keep the win streak alive. But, you know, I met all the right people at all the right time. You know, and I think that was, that had a large part to do with it. But I think a large part also, right, like you got to give yourself credit where credit's due, is it taking action, right?
That's the most important.
You know, but here's the thing is, I think I met all the right people at the right time, because I knew that when I did meet those people, I was going to take action. I was ready to take action, but I just needed someone to point me in the right direction. I needed a good lead, you know? And once I came up with a couple of good leads from a couple of good resources, I chased them down, and we're still chasing down leads to this day. I think financial independence starts with taking action, right?
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, it's you and I were talking before, and there's so many people you meet where everything's got to be perfect before they take action. There's kind of two different planning things that we both have talked about. And the thing that you and I struggle with is, okay, we make out this plan. Neither one of us has problem taking action. It's just more when you're like down the road, you're like, well, this wasn't what I intended to do in the beginning. And there is the possibility of sort of obsessing over that and being like, oh man, I had this plan and now it's not working. I think we're both getting better at being like, but this is a pretty cool place, let me keep going type of thing. We're not afraid to get in the car and jump. But there's other people where it's like they may have that same hang up or another hang up, but the biggest thing is they don't take action. And to me, I would much rather take action and struggle with it like I do versus be somebody who has that sort of analysis paralysis who will just never do anything, because that pretty much guarantees that nothing's going to happen. I mean, don't get me wrong. My way has led to disaster at certain times. I've been sued, as we've talked about. And I did settle. Doesn't mean I was guilty. Just means I didn't want to deal with it. But it's also led to things that were crazy lucky, if we want to call it that way. I mean, like certain deals I've had where it's like, holy crap, like I probably didn't deserve to make this much money on this deal. However, I did find the deal. I did do this. I did do that. I did have all these other things that didn't work out well. So maybe it's not lucky. Maybe it's just there's certain bad things that are going to happen in your life, and there's certain good things that are going to happen to you in life, and maybe they balance out to a certain degree. But all that stems on getting out there, taking action. I mean, it's no different than how many people have I met that have said, man, I'd really like to do jiu-jitsu. And I'm like, you should do jiu-jitsu then. And it's like, well, but I'm waiting till I get in shape. I'm waiting till this. It's so expensive. Da-da-da-da. Like whatever thing it is. And it's like, okay, then you don't really want to do it because it has never been easier to start jiu-jitsu than it is now because it's everywhere. This was somebody saying this to me 30 years ago. I'd be like, yeah, it's pretty hard. There's like one place in the country.
Yeah, it would have been like someone telling you 20 years ago, like, man, you should really do kettlebell swings. And you're like, what's a kettlebell?
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, have you visited dragondoor.com?
That's right. I mean, you know, obviously I was doing jiu-jitsu and kettlebells 20 years ago, but I'm talking about for, you know, people that just weren't as evolved as me. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking about, again, pre-show, about how I was a very, I would obsess about the end result, right? Yeah. Because I thought that that's what, I think in a large part, maybe that's how I was made up, like my, you know, just my personality trait. But I also, you know, maybe had an idea of that's what successful people did. Yeah. And they just didn't take no for an answer. And this was the goal. That's what's going to be accomplished.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, like, one of my favorite lines, whether you're religious or not, right, is, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell him you have a plan. And it's just, life has taught me over the last 20 years, you know, that that is so true. And the analogy I gave was like, you may have this plan of going to this convenience store to get gas because gas is like 10 cents cheaper there. And that's your whole plan. But then there's a wreck and you can't, there's no way to get to that gas station. So you got to divert, right? But at the end of the day, you're still going to get gas. It just didn't, but who knows, maybe at this other gas station, you're going to run in to the love of your life, who's also pumping gas. You know what I mean? And that's the way life behaves. And that's what I found. So the thing is for me is to start moving. Just start moving, but don't care so much about where you end up. Because where you end up, if you're an optimistic person, is going to be exactly where you should be. And that's the exciting thing. Because I wake up every day and I'm like Jack from the Titanic. I don't know where I'm going to end up. But right now I'm sitting here with my good friend Carter Fisk.
We're on this great boat, man. This thing's not sinking. No way. But I think a lot of that, sort of circling back to what we were talking about, is only possible with a certain type of financial independence. Because if you don't have that, then a lot of your options do become more limited. Like your time becomes limited. You're answering to certain people. And, you know, the trap that people say a lot of times is that, well, I don't care about money. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But if you care about independence, then you have to care about money to a certain degree. And I think that what people think is that, okay, if I make a certain amount of money, I have to become a person that I don't want to be. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, you don't at all. Like, you don't have to spend your money on stupid stuff. You don't have to spend your money at all. You don't have to hang out with people. You don't have to play golf. You don't have to do, like, I've met incredibly successful people that their fun thing to do is jiu-jitsu, and that's why I'm friends with them. Be it people that are high level surgeons, doctors, lawyers, all these different things, but they like doing jiu-jitsu. They're not going to go out on the golf course. They're not hanging out at the country club. They're not doing whatever. They want to be on the mats. Like, you don't have to be something that you're not just because you're making money. But if you're not making money, your time is not your own. You're always going to be constantly worried about losing your job or having outside sources affect your happiness or your finances, and therefore you are not financially independent.
Well, and you made the best argument, in my opinion, to people that say, I don't care about money. And I have looked for the counter argument to it, and it's hard, right? Like, anyone who says that they don't care about money and they have a job, the end, right? Yeah. Like, because your argument was, well, then why do you have a job?
Yeah. What are you getting? You're getting up in the morning, you're going somewhere, you're spending your time for something, and you don't get that time back. So if you don't care about money, then do you care about time? Do you care about the fact that time is a very limited resource that we all run out of at some point? I mean, it's just it's a chicken shit argument. I'll just say it because it's 4th of July. Swear a little bit. It is, because it's not.
We can fix that in post. We'll fix it in post.
But it's not really getting out there. It's like giving yourself an excuse for failing by being like, I'm just not going to try.
argument so much, it makes me cringe. I mean, I literally did cringe when you said it. When I just can't stand when people say that. I don't care about money. Yet, they have a job, right? So the first thing is like, well, why do you have a job? Well, because I need to make some money to pay my rent. Well, so you care about money, right? Right? Like, game over, right? Yeah. And people that say they don't care about money, they're just status signaling. They're just, they don't know how to make more money. If they did, they would.
Yeah.
So they're trying to tell you, but look, my life is more important than yours because I'm chasing values that are greater than yours. And you're just status signaling. It's just smoke and mirrors, my brother. Yeah. Smoke and mirrors. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you. I can genuinely tell you as of now, right? Like, I haven't hit the $1 billion mark, but
not yet.
I don't know if I'm any, I don't, money itself did not create any happiness in my life, because happiness for me, you know, from a philosophical perspective, is a very internal thing. Money is an external thing. So money can fix a lot of external problems. And when you're able to fix those external problems, now you have the time to focus on the internal.
Yeah.
And so indirectly, yeah, I can say money has allowed me to be a much happier person, because I had no time to really think about my self-improvement. It was a daily grind, because it wasn't a 9-to-5 grind, right? Like, it was a 12, 15 hour a day grind. It was, you know, always having to answer for something. And it was just like, get to work, stay in traffic to get home, spend a little time with the family, eat dinner, take a shower. If I'm lucky, maybe get some jiu-jitsu. And then I wake up and I do that all over again. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Nobody.
Yeah,
oh, tell me about it.
We saw it last night.
Did you check it out last night?
Yeah, I did.
I love the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it goes, like, his routine is the same every single day. And I feel like that was my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like coffee at this time, and I'm, you know, getting to work at the, and just doing the same thing every single day, and telling myself, well, one day I'll be able to retire at 65, exactly. And then I'll do what I want. I can do what I want now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing that's funny too, when people talk about retirement and they're like, I get to just hang out at the beach or whatever. And it's like, well, that sounds awful. And people, oh no, it sounds great. Okay, do it for a week and tell me how exciting it is. Like, it's this weird thing of like, I'm gonna put off happiness until a certain point, and then I'm gonna do something that's gonna be incredibly disappointing. And I think there's a reason why most people die like 6 months after they retire. In so many different professions, you see that, because now they have no sense of purpose. And so it's not saying that you're looking to have money so you don't have purpose. If anything, you can have more purposes once the, you know, more successful you are, because you can do more stuff. So it's a weird, I don't know, to me, it's just an argument people make because they're afraid they can't do it. Or it's people that are making a lot of money who claim that money is not important to them. Which seems interesting when you start reading about, you know, reports on their divorce or whatever it might be, or their business relationships. Like, huh, seems like it's kind of important here when you were screaming and yelling and blah, 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 and fired this guy. But, you know, if you want to do the interview and say how you don't care about money, hoping that'll lead more to more book sales, I get it. But you're full of it also. So
but why do you want more book sales, right? So you can have more influence, more power, more money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just be real. Just be real. Be like Caleb Calista and just keep it real, man. Say it how it is.
He keeps it real, man.
That's the thing, though, is that, man, I feel like everything is Photoshop nowadays. Nobody wants to keep it real. They just want to give you one perspective of one thing. And, you know, like Facebook, right? Like, everybody's putting out a Photoshopped image of what their life is like. Yeah. And that's just not the reality of it, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, because it's like, I mean, I guess some people, maybe it helps. I try and figure out what is Facebook actually good for, like, because there's so many negatives, but I'm like, well, what is it good for? I'm like, I guess if you have a business, I can't even say for that, like, if that's, it's never made me any money at all. So I can't say it's good for that. I enjoy it for like putting up the jiu-jitsu videos we do, because I like doing that. And it's just, I like sort of capturing this time in our life. So I like it for jiu-jitsu videos, but I'm like, what else is it really good for? Because I feel like people spend a lot of time putting their political opinions, doing this, doing that. And I'm like, what did you get out of this? If this is in a way that directly, again, leads to your financial independence. So I can understand if somebody is like a you know, professional influencer, like somebody like Scott Adams, who I've been listening to a lot lately, where it's like, okay, he's going to put stuff on Twitter and then he's going to talk about it and he's going to write about it in his books. And, you know, it's going to make him money one way or the other by bringing these subjects up. That I can understand. But for 99% of the population, it doesn't make them any money. It doesn't save them any time. They spend tons of time doing it. I'm just like, what? I don't know what it's good for, but it's certainly people like to create the idea of the illusion of who they are, or the sort of the highlight reel of who they are. And for me, it's like, at least in jiu-jitsu, it's like, yeah, I'm just doing a highlight video. I mean, if I put down the whole hour-long video of Mo and I trying to break each other's feet yesterday, it'd be exciting to you and me, but for most people, it might be a wee bit.
No, they'd be like, Mo sucks in real life. you know, I will counter that argument right now, though. My own argument, right? Like, people are photoshopping. They're creating a highlight reel on Facebook. But the counter argument to that would be, okay, well, if you have this platform and you can put things out about your life, why not just put the good stuff out? And I would agree with that to a certain extent, right? Like, nobody wants to see pictures of you and your wife arguing, right? Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see you standing in front of your business after they're like shutting down the doors because you went bankrupt, right? Yeah, nobody. So, you know, in a world where we need more good news because it's filled with a lot of bad news because what bleeds leads. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Okay. If it bleeds, it leads. Yeah. Yeah, we need some good news. Okay. So I guess, you know, there's an argument. Continue the photoshopping, the highlight reel. There's nothing wrong.
Keep doing it. I'm just not going to read it, but yeah, keep doing it.
Yeah. So financial independence, it's important in a nutshell. We talked about it. Yeah. But now I really want to get to independent jiu-jitsu. What is independent jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. So it's really just, it's funny because, yeah, I've been asked from time to time, like, are you opening up a school? Are you guys opening a school? Or is there a school? And it was never about that. I mean, the answer is no. I mean, Mo and I both have seen the realities of running a jiu-jitsu school. And it's an honorable profession. It's just not the profession for you and I. I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. It's more of a mindset. It's more of the idea of taking charge of your jiu-jitsu, of how you learn it, of who you train with, of how you train, and making that what's best for you. And that was always, because the frustration that I had coming up was that I wasn't crazy about the way things were taught. There was a weird sort of atmosphere at a lot of the schools and things like that. And it was such a weird way of treating this thing that was learnable, that was a sport, that was not that different than any other combat sport, but the way it was approached was totally different than like boxing or wrestling or judo. And when I started meeting more boxers and wrestlers and hanging out with them and training with them, I started really thinking, well, why are we making jiu-jitsu into this weird exotic thing rather than this is something where you can study film, you can see how people get better, you're going to have your own style. I mean, there's boxers that have all sorts of styles, there's wrestlers that wrestle all different ways. There's a practicality of it. There's not the whole like, it's your coach, it's not your professor, it's not your master, it's not whatever, it's your coach, it's your boxing coach, your wrestling coach. You have the best wrestler of all time in the U.S., John Smith. What is he? He's a wrestling coach. He's not a wrestling professor. He's not a wrestling master. He's a coach. If he was a professor, he'd be teaching physics. He's not. I don't like the word professor. I don't know if I'm making that clear or not. But that just became sort of a mindset. And it was interesting because Brandon, our buddy Brandon Tui, was talking the other day. And he said to me, he's like, man, I was only training with you guys for a while. And it was great. But I realized I need to start training with people that are like lower level because I need to work on my offense. I need to work on different things. And he's like, I was training with independent jiu-jitsu, but I wasn't being independent in my own jiu-jitsu.
I love it.
Yes, because that's the point. Because it's not, oh, you got to train with us. Oh, you got to train the way we train. Oh, look at the techniques. What do we know? It's nothing like that. It's just more the mentality of being skeptical, of being in charge of your own learning, of being independent in your own thought process. And what is really cool is there's never been a better time to be that way because there's access to more information now than there ever has been in the history of mankind. the problem is you have a lot of people that are making their money by steering your thoughts, by socializing your thinking. And that goes for jiu-jitsu too, because there is an enormous market in the instructional market. I mean, I saw Gordon Ryan made $350,000 last month from instructional sales.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. So that's more money than I made last month, I'm not going to lie. So you know, there's a lot of money to be made in these things. And the danger with all that is it can start steering your thinking into thinking, well, I've got to speak the way he speaks. I've got to do the techniques he does. I have to, you know, no, you don't. Like, you got to figure out the best way for you. And that's what independent jiu-jitsu is really about. It's not a school. It's not a way of training. It's a mentality towards jiu-jitsu. And it's American. And it's 4th of July.
Yo.
Independent jiu-jitsu.
I love it. And that is the mic drop, my brother. It was so good being able to spend the 4th of July with my good friend Carter Fisk, and to knock out this podcast, because for the listeners, I'm pretty confident we have some listeners now. We're always happy to spend some time with you guys as well. We wish you guys a happy 4th of July, and to re-listen to this episode or to check out our past episodes, go to thejiujitsuoflife.com. Also, check us out on Apple iTunes. Like, review, subscribe. Shout out to our sponsor, Robles, makers of the world's finest custom jiu-jitsu apparel. Nobody can be you better than you. Be authentic, Robles. And, you know, Robles makes custom gis. Yellow Pine Investments makes custom warehouses. Be sure to check them out. Check out our boy, Caleb Callista, Sneaky Submissions. Check out Steve Hordensky, Jiu-Jitsu on the Go. Forgot to tell you, Steve Hordensky and his crew may be coming officially down. And maybe late next month, maybe we can do some filming, or maybe we can at least catch a meal together. But it'll be cool. For those of you who don't know Steve Hordensky, go and Google Jiu-Jitsu on the Go. It's a great online training platform to supplement your actually, you know, your in-school Jiu-Jitsu training. And for those of the of you that live in the Austin area, check out Chaparral Moving, and they have Moving Down to a Science. Tell them Mo and Carter sent you, and I don't know what they'll do for you, but I, you know, I feel like
no one's actually ever done that. Yeah. But it's, yeah.
As always, I'm Mo, that's Carter, and we wish you guys nothing but the best, both on and off the mat. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys.
That's it for this episode of the Jiu-Jitsu of Life. Your hosts are Carter Fisk and Mo Siddiqui. This podcast is brought to you by Robles, makers of the world's finest custom jiu-jitsu apparel. You can subscribe to the Robles newsletter to get the exclusive content at robles.com. You can find more episodes of this show on our website at thejiujitsuoflife.com. And you can subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we wish you a great week, both on and off the mat.